Part 3, Chapter 5, The New Attitude of Life. When you read verses 1-10 of the second chapter from the sublime epistle of Paul to the Ephesians and you place it against the background of the subject discussed in the previous chapter, you will perhaps perceive the very close connection between Paul's words and our subject. Paul speaks of his thankfulness and gladness by his activity in Christ, a group of Ephesians, serious seekers who have been gathered into a new ecclesia, and so a new young brotherhood, has been taken into the magnetic field of the Christ-centered fullness. With regard to these pupils of the spiritual school, he speaks of them becoming truly alive. Then he pictures, in short, the process of liberation, which he introduces by the words, "Formerly you were dead because of your misdeeds and sins." The word misdeeds does not mean offense against the social or moral justice of our society, but points to the fundamental signature of our misdeeds in relation to the gnosis. In that sense, we all bear the signature of belonging to the course of this world, according to the prince of the forces of the air. If we do not follow our vocation as image-bearers of God and consequently do not conquer the world, the counter nature develops both in the material sphere and the reflection sphere. We bear the stains and so the sign of the children of disobedience as a result of the inheritance in the blood of birth and of the karma that was and continues to be created by it. All of us are by nature children of wrath, not merely in a mystical sense, but also in every other respect considering our present state, so there is no reason for us to talk about this emotionally. He who understands this and with deeper insight can experience it as truth will feel inspired by a wonderful happiness. He will be speechless with thankfulness when he discovers that in the transfiguristic spiritual school his natural downward path of degeneration and his fundamentally useless and heavily burdened existence is transmuted into total liberation and, moreover, into a guiltless elevation. Only then is there a real perspective of life. Only then does a future unroll for man to show the overwhelming wealth of the grace of Christ in the coming ages. For the one who has been taken into the new magnetic body, who experiences the seven rays of Shambhala and kindles his seven-branched candelabrum, is taken up in a process of generation and transmutation which, seen from the point of view of time and space, will occupy many ages. Such a person is going to undertake a journey from here to the nirvanic sphere, together with his brothers and sisters, going from power to power, until the gates of the immovable kingdom open to him. This journey is won through the morning land of the Spirit and becomes possible through the Gnostic gifts of salvation. You only have to set foot on the path of the new consequences of life, as one touched by the grace of the fire, to transmute this food of salvation into force and, charged by this vitality, to enter the new life. Truth obliges us to say that though many receive this force daily and are fed by this food hourly, these dynamic possibilities are still used to a too small an extent. All pupils who really yearn for the gnosis have become more than rich by their continuous union with the new magnetic body of the school. They possess treasures, but they are insufficiently conscious of the fact. They think too much of the dialectical results and rightly consider them very meager. With self-knowledge, they think themselves bunglers, indeed. But Paul said to his Ephesians that they are saved by grace, that is to say, that they have been given riches which cannot be accounted for by their dialectical state of being. They are a gift of God and do not come through your works, he said. Therefore, you must approach these things psychologically in quite a different way, in a deep, living realization that we are created in Jesus Christ for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If you understand these words by Paul, we are well on the right way, It means, do not mistake the things of ordinary nature for those of the gnosis, for you cannot change ordinary nature. But you have now been given new possibilities to demonstrate a quite new attitude of life that has nothing to do with ordinary nature. Well, in this you should walk. From this reversion of the soul, you may ask, how can we live this new attitude of life? The school's answer is, it is in group unity that we shall acquire a new attitude of life.